Welcome back, SiriusXM, POTUS Radio Channel 124, Straight Shooter with yours truly. Let's get right to it. My guest served as the 56th governor of the great state of New York from 2011 until his resignation in 2021. He is now running for New York City mayor in a hotly contested race. Please welcome back to the show, one and only Andrew Cuomo. How are you, sir? It's good to
Great.
See you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Let's get right to it. Recent polls have shown that you have climbed within 10 percentage point of Mr. Zohran Mamdani, the Democratic nominee, the Democratic Socialist nominee for the mayoral seat of New York City. How are you feeling about where you are now?
Oh, I'm feeling very good. First, 10 points. You know, these polls have been wrong all through the election.
Okay.
Because they are trying to determine the turnout, right? They're all based on the turnout. Mm-hmm. They were wrong in the primary, and I think they're going to be wrong here in the general. I think it is much, much closer than the polls say. I feel it on the street. I think New Yorkers have now really gotten to look at this Mamdani. Mm-hmm. And early on, you know, he did social media, he looked slick, had a nice smile, great slogans. But now they've watched him, they've learned about him, a lot of information has come out. Mm-hmm. And he is just not a New Yorker. He is not qualified to be mayor. He doesn't stand for what they stand for. Decriminalize prostitution, defund the police. Mm. And New York is not a socialist city, Stephen A.
So when you say that New Yorkers are learning so much about him, essentially that's your way of saying New York, again, this is not a socialist town. What he's offering is not going to work. Why wouldn't it work in New York City, sir?
Well, first, public safety, some areas of crime are down, but New Yorkers do not feel safe. We still have work to do on crime. Mm-hmm. We have the lowest level of police force that we've had in modern political history because we responded to this far left movement. We, New York City, responded to this far left movement, defund the police, defund the police. Mm-hmm. They defunded the police, lowest level in modern history. I want to raise the police department by 5,000. He wants to defund, dismantle the police. He wants to abolish jails. Decriminalize prostitution. That's not where New Yorkers are. They want more police, more affordable housing because the rent is too damn high, and you want jobs and companies coming here. You don't want to be chasing jobs and company and wealth from New York. And that's what he represents with that socialist philosophy.
What happened months ago when you lost in the primary to this man? What transpired in your estimation? What was missing then that you believe is no longer missing now?
They didn't really know him. I didn't call him out on his game, in truth, during the primary. He got away with his, and he was very good on social media, was right as right, with these great videos. His mother's a film director, he's an actor. And he's great for the first 20 seconds, right? And slogans that sound great, that are all BS, but sound great. Freeze the rent. Free buses. Yeah, except none of it is true. None of it is under control of the mayor. None of it can be done, but it sounded great, and he got away with it. Now he wins the primary. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, let me really take a look. Now it's serious, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're getting close to the election. Now it's serious. And let me take a look at this fella and his positions and what he has said. And what he has said and his own tweets, his own videos mm-hmm. have come out. And they are frightening to New Yorkers.
I have to ask you this because I watched you and I watched the debate recently. And personally speaking, I thought that you did a magnificent job of pointing out the differences, the clear delineation between you and him and what you thought your experience and what you have done was compared to this individual that you essentially called him a novice. He doesn't know what he's doing. You're basically letting New Yorkers know that. I was looking for that Andrew Cuomo during the primaries, and I didn't see that. Now, we all know why you departed from office in 2021 with the allegations and what have you. How much did that play a role in your hesitancy, or dare I say passiveness, when it came to really, really going after him and showing what his record was at a time where you could have potentially neutralized the momentum he was building, but you didn't do it?
Yeah. I don't think that was it. I think it was I didn't appreciate the impact he was having on social media and TikTok. And in part of me, Stephen A., I didn't take him seriously because I knew too much, you know. I knew what he was saying was all garbage, but he was selling the garbage and people were buying the garbage. So I didn't take it to him because I didn't take him seriously. My bad. He wins. All right. Now we're in the general. And now I'm taking it to him. And we're on the debate stage. And I think it was very clear that there is no there. There's no plan. And he has no qualifications to implement any plan if he had one. There is no such thing as freeze the rent. There is no free bus. There is no flying bus. None of that. That's all garbage. And he has no qualification whatsoever to actually be the mayor. He's never had a job. He was a son of millionaires. He didn't have to work, so he didn't work. He was a part-time rapper. He's been an assemblyman up in Albany for 20 minutes. He passed three bills, which is one of the lowest levels in Albany, missed 80% of the votes. So he has just zero experience. A mayor is a real job, you know. You handle anything that pops up. Any morning can be a hurricane, can be a building collapse. God forbid, could be a terrorist attack. There's no on-the-job training when you're a mayor. And mayor should not be your first job.
When I look at you and I think about this race right now, I don't even know what to call you because I always see you as the governor. I mean, you were three-term en route to becoming a fourth-term governor, for crying out loud. That's how I view you. And you're now, you know, on the verge. You got this race for the mayor of New York City. I see two parts. I see an Andrew Cuomo that's telling the world, or rather the city of New York, don't trust this guy, Zohran Mamdani. Okay, he's not qualified. He's not ready for the task at hand. Don't trust him. Don't believe the smoke and mirrors he's throwing in your direction. But you have cynics that point to what transpired with you with the sexual harassment allegations that led to you departing from office in 2021. And they'll say, are you telling us why we should trust you? Are you telling us enough about that? How do you answer that question to somebody that would throw that at you?
Here's the problem. You have that answer. I said there were allegations made. I said when the allegations were made in that report, it was political. There was no there, and people would find out. That report then went to five district attorneys, 4 years, lawyers. Everybody came and gave a deposition. I was dropped from the cases. No there, which is exactly what I said 4 years before. So that's the answer. We know the facts. And we know it came, nothing came of it because there was nothing there, which is what I said from day one.
What about your thoughts about Governor Kathy Hochul endorsing him, supporting him? It's one thing for Bernie Sanders to do it. He's, you know, he's a progressive leftist and doesn't mind socialism at all. It's one thing for AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, doing the same thing. It's another thing entirely for your former, your former lieutenant governor to be willing to do that. What should that say to New Yorkers in your eyes? How do you answer that?
They are, look, you have a civil war going on in the Democratic Party.
Okay.
You have this far left, extreme left, socialists. They are socialists. They call themselves democratic socialists. Forget democratic. It's just a modifier for socialists.
Okay.
They're socialists. Bernie Sanders, AOC, etc. That far left is having a war with the moderate mainstream Democrats. I'm now a moderate. All my life I was a crazy liberal, son of a crazy liberal, but hey, the world shifted so fast that now I'm a moderate. Okay, so it's the far left versus the moderate. A lot of the mainstream Democrats are afraid of the left. So they think they're going to make peace by endorsing Zohran, and they're going to buy peace with the far left. I have news for them. The far left is never going to declare peace. They're going to come for power, and they're going to come to kill them. But you have moderate Democrats who are just trying to make nice because they're afraid the far left is going to come after them.
Does the same in your mind apply to House Speaker Hakeem Jeffries?
Yes.
Does the same apply to Chuck Schumer at this particular point in time, considering we're living in a government shutdown right now? And 6 months ago, he was for the, you know, he obviously was for the CR and he voted not to shut down the government. But 6 months later, he's obviously elected to side with the progressive left. Does the same apply to him?
Look, it applies to all of them, Stephen A.
Okay.
It applies to all of them.
So where does that leave Andrew Cuomo?
I am saying I am not going there. That is not my father's Democratic Party. It's not my Democratic Party. It's not Bill Clinton's Democratic Party. It's not Barack Obama's Democratic Party. This is a socialist party. It would be the death. It would be the death of the Democratic Party. The Republicans are licking their lips, hoping this kid Mamdani wins because they can pick him up and carry him around the country and say, here's the Democratic Party, 34-year-old, never had a job, wants to decriminalize prostitution, doesn't like the police, defund the police, abolish jails. Literally a socialist, anti-business, anti-corporate. Government should control the means of production. That's what their first motto. That's Marxism. So this socialist wing wins, the Democratic Party dies, in my opinion.
What about when Mamdani was on the stage and he called you a puppet for the Trump administration, that the Trump administration wants you to win, and the fact that you have the support of the Trump administration should be all we need to know as a New Yorker to not trust Andrew Cuomo as the city's next mayor. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, he just makes it up, right? Remember, you're dealing with an actor. He just makes it up. Now, New Yorkers know better because I was governor, Trump was president. They saw me on TV fighting with him every day, you know. They know that Trump and I had many battle royales. When we could work together, we also worked together. And that's the same thing I would do as mayor. If we can have the federal government working with the city to help the city, God bless, I'm all in. But if you're going to take it to the city or you're adverse to New York, then we're going toe-to-toe. So people understand that. No, Trump, I believe, would love to have Mamdani. But as I said before, because the Republicans, he's the poster boy of why you shouldn't elect the Democrats. Mike Johnson in Washington said when Hakeem Jeffries endorsed Mamdani, he said, it's the death of the Democratic Party as we know it. That's how polarizing this Mamdani is. But President Trump did make a good point when he said the Republican Curtis Sliwa is not ready for prime time. And that's true. There's a Republican in the race, Sliwa, who's really just a spoiler. He's not a viable candidate.
When I think about Curtis Sliwa, let me say this. I respect what he's done, his work with the Guardian Angels all of these years. And we know he's been a fixture in New York City for quite some time. I think the thing that I should say disturbs me is that this is clearly a two-horse race. Eric Adams stepping away, I think that was the obvious choice to make. Curtis Sliwa should step away. I think that's the obvious choice to make. And the fact that he's willing to stay in the race at this point when so much is clearly at stake, it's just that simple to me. I'm not even getting into anything else. When you're hovering around 9% of the vote, you're not a part of this anymore. You're really, really just playing spoiler. But in the same breath, some would argue that's not foreign. We see that all the time. Is that true?
We don't see this all the time.
We don't see that all the time.
We don't see this all the time. Look, President Trump says that Mamdani is an existential threat. And he says that Republicans, if a vote for Sliwa is really a vote for Mamdani. And President Trump basically says, I don't like Cuomo, but I hate communists.
Right.
Is basically what President Trump is saying. And what I'm saying to Republicans is, look, it is a two-horse race. And you vote for Sliwa, you throw your vote away, or you may as well vote for Mamdani. Mm-hmm. And between me and Mamdani, I am a moderate Democrat, right? I am a public safety. I support the NYPD, 5,000 more cops, affordable housing, grow business, grow jobs, cut taxes. That is also appealing to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. So I'm reaching out to them in this race. But you're right, Sliwa is a spoiler.
How do you work around the negative impact? And I totally understand, just for the record, let me put myself out on fresh air. I completely agree with where you're coming from. Me personally, that's how I think it should be done. That's the man in the White House. That's the administration running the country. The Republicans got the House, obviously, Senate and all that stuff. I got it. And you got to work with them. The flip side to it is that coming across, verbalizing the willingness to work with them is something that the progressives have been able to use to their advantage to negate or ward off whatever momentum you may have. How do you work around that as the election closes in to make sure that that doesn't end up having a catastrophic effect against you?
Look, I'm not going to get the irrational people. I don't want the irrational people. Well, you should fight Trump all the time. No, that's not responsible. If Trump says, I want to help you rebuild the subway system, I want to help you build a new bridge, I want to help you build a tunnel, which, by the way, we're getting a lot of federal aid right now. Of course. When I was governor, we went toe to toe. Trump investigated me with the Department of Justice for 2 years on a purely political investigation because we were fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, we went toe to toe. But even then, if we could get funding to help the state, that is my job. Now, they want to say, we hate Trump, never talk to Trump. First of all, it's not an option. And if Mamdani wins, you're going to see Trump come in here and take over New York City. You mark my words.
What do you mean by that? What does that mean that Trump is going to take over New York City? How? How can he do that?
Forget sending the National... First, they'll send the National Guard. But the federal government controls everything. They can close your airports. They control your health money, your housing money. You're basically bankrupt if the federal government turns off the faucet.
And are you talking period or New York City?
New York City.
Oh, got it. Go ahead.
And he will... He has said that he will effectively take over New York City to protect the good people of New York. You know, President Trump needs an excuse to act, right? He doesn't just send the National Guard. He sends the National Guard as a power play. He's making a statement. These Democrats don't know how to run a city. They're dangerous, these Democrats. I have to send in the National Guard to take care of the people in Portland and take care of the people in L.A., because the Democrats don't know what they're doing. He needs that hook to do it. Mamdani gives him that hook on steroids. He'll send the National Guard. He'll send ICE. He'll say that he personally has to have his administration oversee the city because you have an incompetent 34-year-old socialist.
So if that's the case, then why is it remotely a good thing that Trump is perceived as supporting you as the man who should be running New York City in light of what you just said?
Oh, look, Trump, if Trump were really supporting me, there would be no Curtis Sliwa in the race, Stephen A. He's the head of the Republican Party. Curtis Sliwa was not elected by anybody. He was placed on the ballot by the Republican chairman in New York
City. But why haven't they gotten him the hell off then?
That's my point is, if Trump, well, they don't want to get him off. They're with Sliwa. But if President Trump wanted to help me, he would call those chairmen. One phone call. Hello, this is President Trump. You are the Republican chairman of Manhattan and the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens. I want Sliwa off. Mm-hmm. Click.
Right.
It's over.
With that being said, one of the other things that I've been paying attention to, as we're sitting here right now taping this interview, Israel has dropped a couple of bombs in Gaza. Apparently, you know, they thought that, you know, there was a violation of the truce agreement that they had reached. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has acted, consulted with the White House before he did, according to reports, but nevertheless has acted. You have been speaking adamantly, very strongly about your relationship with the Jewish community in New York City, and comparing that to that of Zohran Mamdani and his lack of a relationship, in your estimation, with the Jewish community. Could you explain that at all, where you think the community would stand, the Jewish community would stand, in Zohran Mamdani, New York City, especially considering the concerns involving anti-Semitism and beyond that's been permeating throughout the city over the last few months?
Yeah, look, Stephen, he politically used the Middle East issue. And there were a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of Americans, who were upset about the Middle East issue in general and upset at Israel for being overly aggressive vis-a-vis Palestine.
Okay.
That was a legitimate feeling.
I think so.
And he played to that every chance he got. Now, what does the Middle East have to do with running for mayor of New York? Last time I checked, the mayor doesn't work in the UN, doesn't have any peacekeeping mission in the Middle East.
Okay.
He just used it politically. My point is, whatever your feelings on the Middle East, and I am pro-Israel, nothing justifies anti-Semitism here in New York City against Jewish people. And we've had more anti-Semitic incidents in New York City than any city in the United States of America. And that is not okay. And fanning the flames of anti-Semitism is not okay. Because if you fan the flames of anti-Semitism, then you're going to fan the flames of anti-Latino and anti-Asian and anti-Muslim. And that is cancerous for New York City, right? Mm-hmm. Because what makes this place is the diversity. But the diversity is a balance. And you have to work very hard to keep people together and find those commonalities. When you have a divisive personality like Zohran, who runs around starting fires wherever he can, trying to separate people, NYPD is racist, I won't denounce globalized intifada, I won't denounce the person who said America deserved 9/11. America deserved 9/11.
Think about that. He said that.
His friend said that, Hassan Piker. He won't denounce Hassan Piker and then invites him to his rally the other day. You offend all New Yorkers with that, not just 9/11 victims. 3,000 people died. 150,000 have 9/11 related illness. Every New Yorker was traumatized by 9/11. Every American. He will not denounce America deserved 9/11. This is a divisive personality, which is toxic in this city.
Usually somebody like that wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning the mayor's seat in New York City. Yet, Andrew Cuomo, here you are in the race, 10 points down, not 20, not 30, just 10, but nevertheless still trailing him. How do you explain that at this particular juncture, with the things that you've been able to say and show about things that he has said, where he stands? I watched the debate where I've invited Zohran Mamdani. Let me let my audience know right now. He's been invited on this show for the last 3 months. I've been trying to get him on the show, okay? It ain't my fault that he ain't here. I can't make him come, all right? He hasn't showed up, you have, okay? The point is that he's had an opportunity to be on here. He hasn't shown up. He didn't answer a lot of questions during the debate, which both you and Curtis Sliwa pointed out. How do you explain that at this late in the game, he's still 10 points up?
Yeah, well, look, we have a week to go. That's like the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. We're just coming into the fourth quarter. Because, look, New Yorkers, people are living their life, right, focusing on this campaign. They focus when they have to vote. Early voting started. They have to vote now next week. Now they're going to focus. And I'm telling you, when they focus on this kid and what he has said and what he represents, he is not New York. He just is not New York.
I'm reading from an article in the New York Post. Came out today. And it's saying Mayor frontrunner Zohran Mamdani once made a vile pronouncement tying the NYPD with the Israeli military in a shocking video that resurfaced Tuesday, quote, "We have to make clear that when the boot of the NYPD is on your neck, it's been laced by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force." Your response to that, once you saw that story?
Yeah, poison. Poison. Divisive. First of all, I don't even know what connection you're trying to make. The boot of the NYPD is somehow laced by IDF. I don't even know what sick connection he's trying to make. But this is his poison. This is what he sells, right? Fear, polarization, anger, anger at the NYPD. NYPD is racist. NYPD is wicked. They're corrupt. They're anti-queer. His words. Barack Obama, evil, a liar. He didn't support Kamala Harris. He is a divisive personality. And yes, during this election, anti-Israel. Anti-Israel. Why? Because many of his voters, many of the younger socialists who've been watching this on TikTok for 2 years, that resonated with them. And he was just blowing on the flames, you know.
The police should support you based on the things that you have said. 5,000 additional police officers. He's talking about having mental health experts in the subway system. As somebody that grew up in Queens, took the E and the F train all the time, I've just never heard. I just never heard some of these things in my life. I just can't believe it. Okay, but that's what the man is saying. This is why I want to talk to him, because I'm a native New Yorker and I can't believe some of the stuff that he's saying. But to be fair to him, having said that, some people are buying this. How plausible is this in a Mamdani administration, Andrew Cuomo, if this happens? We're talking about, less police officers or the same amount of police officers, because he says he's not going to deplete the police officers. He's just not going to increase them. He's going to have mental health experts, free grocery stores, free bus rides, okay? At least one free grocery store at each borough, that kind of thing. And we've already talked about this other stuff. Is this stuff plausible in your estimation? According to my research, it's far more implausible, involves far more extensive changes that are likely not going to happen. But nevertheless, that's what he's saying.
He's running for class president in high school. Free pizza, no class on Friday. Yeah, none of it happens. There's no free bus. Mayor isn't in charge of that. Doesn't make any sense anyway. They tried it. They wind up being homeless shelters because the homeless get on the bus and they never get off. But the mayor's not even in charge of buses. That's a state operation. The mentally ill, being homeless, being helped on the subways makes absolutely no sense. I've worked on helping the homeless all my life. I did it here in New York. I did it on the federal side. It makes no sense whatsoever. None of it makes sense. None of it would happen. None of it is doable. It just sounds good. So it would have no effect except the negative, which is he would raise taxes on corporations to the point where you see them leave. He would raise personal income taxes as a socialist to equalize income, and you'd see more wealth leave. And if you lose more businesses and more wealth, you're going to see the tax base come down, and now you're in a downward spiral. You will see fewer police. Maybe he won't defund this band the way he said he would, but his current position, pushed, is I'm going to freeze the budget. If you freeze the budget, that means every year the costs go up. You have to reduce the number of police, which is what he genuinely believes, to the extent he genuinely
believes. So what are you going to do? Are you going to raise taxes? Are you going to raise capital gains taxes? Are you going to raise income tax?
No,
what are you going to do?
We're losing too many businesses. We're losing too many people. We have to go the other way. You have people heading to Florida, South Carolina, Texas, saying this state is too expensive. Same thing they're doing coming out of L.A. You have to reach out to business and say, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Slow down. I want you here. I want you developing jobs. That's opportunity. What? That's what makes the whole train
run. What about members of the Democratic Party who would look at you and say, you're not a Democrat. You're an independent now. he's the Democrat because he's got the Democrat brand behind him with the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders of the world and others. They're saying he's the Democrat. You're the one that's independent. Now, I know that's got to be an insulting question considering who your daddy is, the great Mario Cuomo, who my mother loved to death, God rest his soul. And I know that's got to be hard for you to hear considering your success as a governor of the state of New York. But nevertheless, there are people that are saying that you are running as an independent. He's the one running as a Democrat.
Yes.
What do you say to that?
That is the kabuki of this moment. He is a socialist who won the Democratic primary. I'm the Democrat on an independent line. But make no mistake, he is a socialist. And make no mistake, I am the real deal Democrat.
And you say you're the real deal Democrat and you're 67 years of age. They were getting on you about your energy. I see the energy. I see the path. That's what I was looking for in a primary, sir. That was what I was looking for in a primary. I got it now, okay? And I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Andrew Cuomo, how badly do you believe the city needs you to be its next mayor, considering the race that you're in?
Stephen A., hand to God, I'm afraid for New York City. I'm afraid. I was HUD secretary for 8 years under Bill Clinton. I worked in cities all across the country. You can lose a city, and there can be a tipping point. We're like at a tipping point. You have post-COVID, post-Zoom, remote work. People don't have to be here. They can be anywhere, and they are leaving. If they don't feel that the quality of life is going up, if they don't feel that government is working with them, if they don't feel safer, you're going to see the city deteriorate. I believe Mamdani can kill New York City. Can kill New York City.
How are we supposed to feel if Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of this state, is saying such things, but we got elected officials on Capitol Hill endorsing this person that you're describing Zohran Mamdani to be? How are we supposed to feel as a nation considering that?
Look, the Democratic Party is lost. Let's be honest. The Democratic Party is lost right now, right? They have no strategy vis-a-vis Trump. It's all about, they're just hoping Trump makes a mistake. That's their game plan right now. But the Democratic Party is lost. And yes, we're having this civil war, which is part of the fact that the Democratic Party has lost its identity. The people it represented, the working families that were the base of the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party has become disconnected and alienated. And the Democratic Party used to deliver, used to do something, make a difference in somebody's life, raise my minimum wage, build my kid a new school, build a new airport, build a bridge, give me a business loan.
Well, he's talking about doing those things. He's talking about $30 minimum wage. He's talking about schools. He's talking about those things.
You can't do a $30 minimum wage. You'd lose more jobs, right, and you'd put more people. I raised the minimum wage to the highest level in the United States, $15. People said I was crazy. I said, no, 15 is the right number. Businesses can do it. You know what? The economy went up at 15. I now want to go to 20. I believe 20, the economy will go up. 30 doubles the payroll of a company. Doubles the payroll. You know what that means?
Yeah,
Stephen A., you're out of a job. Mm. Can't afford you.
You also brought up National Guard. Before I let you get on out of here, just a couple more questions. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for coming in the studio. I really appreciate it. You talked about Trump would take over this city if Mamdani was the mayor. How do you say to New Yorkers that wouldn't happen on your watch, considering how polarizing President Donald Trump can be, how he can get, how moody he can get, how petty he can get at times? How does New Yorkers know that Andrew Cuomo would keep them safe from Trump doing such things under his watch?
Because I did. 20 cities, right? I'm governor, he's president. Trump won. 20 cities, he sends the National Guard. What city never saw the National Guard? New York. Because, it's what I said before, he needs a hook. He needs a hook. He needs you to make a mistake so he can say, that's Stephen A. Can't run a city. I have to send in my National Guard, which he loves to do because it gets him saying that the Democrats are messing up. Mm-hmm. I would never give him that opening. He could never say, oh, that Cuomo, he doesn't know how to run anything. Mm-hmm. I have to send the National Guard. Didn't happen last time, wouldn't happen this time. ICE, they did send in upstate New York at one time and didn't tell us. And there was almost a very dangerous encounter between the state police and ICE. And I talked to him directly about that. And I said, you know, next time somebody could get killed, don't send ICE in here without telling me first, because we have to coordinate. And he respected that. So, look, Trump knows me, and he knows he puts his finger in my chest. I put my finger in his chest. And he doesn't want to fight with New York. He doesn't want to fight with me if he doesn't have to. And he knows that. And he knows that, yeah, we can go toe-to-toe. We have gone toe-to-toe, but it's bloody.
Last two questions. Is it a legitimate question to say that it's quite possible that Andrew Cuomo may be needed more as the mayor of New York now than he may have been needed as the governor of New York State back in the day? I'm talking about considering the times that we're living in and how shaky things appear to be. Do you think you find yourself at any point thinking like that because of how concerned you are about the state of this city at this moment? That's what I'm asking.
That's a hell of a question. I think this is the most important election of my lifetime. And I do believe New York City is a pivotal moment. And I do believe Mamdani would be the death of New York City. But I also believe it's a moment where New York City could actually pivot and do well. And I think I have the experience and the skill set to do that. You know, it sounds arrogant. I don't do a lot of things well in life. You don't want to hear me sing. You don't want to see me dance. You don't want to see me swing a golf club, okay? Mm. I know how to make government work. I've been doing it since I was 18 years old with my father. And if there was ever a time when New York City needed someone who could make the government work, clean up the place, stand up to Trump, deal with the state and the federal government, this is the moment. This is the moment. I think as governor, I did a lot of things I'm proud of. New LaGuardia Airport, New Kennedy Airport, Mario Cuomo Bridge, Kosciuszko Bridge, Second Avenue Subway, Moynihan Train Hall, a lot that I'm proud of. Marriage equality, led the nation. But I think this is probably the pivotal moment for New York City. And yes, I can make a real difference here, maybe more than I made as governor.
Mario Cuomo is universally recognized as maybe the greatest governor in the history of the state of New York and one of the greatest governors we've ever seen in American history. That was your dad. Your idol. I ask you respectfully, knowing what's coming down the pike, knowing what's at stake, knowing there's a 10-point deficit at the moment that we're sitting here right now with you in the polls, you're climbing, the momentum is shifting. What would your dad say to you about what's necessary to get the job done, meaning finish this race and win it? What would he say to you? What advice would he be giving to you in these closing days of the election?
He would say, it's not about you. You have to win this for the city. You have to win this for the Democratic Party. Punch until the bell sounds. You can do this. You have to do this. It is everything he stood for, everything he believed in. It is the heart and soul of the Democratic Party that is at stake here, Stephen A. We are not socialists. We are not people who think an unqualified person should be mayor of New York or governor of New York. We respect government service. It's my whole life, my father's whole life. And now you say that anyone with no qualification can do the job, be in charge of 8.5 million lives? No, he would say, hit as hard as you can, as long as you can.
And that's exactly what you intend to do.
Damn right.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
One and only Andrew Cuomo. My thanks to the New York City mayoral candidate, Mr. Andrew Cuomo himself. Back with more Straight Shooter with Stephen A. in a minute.